Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are here for a special bonus episode to give you the latest Beatle news and talk about some of the latest happenings in the Beatle world for where we are in March. We're sort of on the border of mid-March here, and there's been quite a few happenings, some related to the world at large and then some really specific to the Beatles. So let's dig in here and see what's happening.
Yeah, it was sort of a flurry of news the last couple of days. So I was actually texting you about, like, hey, we should record. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. And another sort of major article came out, too, just yesterday. So we'll talk about all these things. The big story, of course, on everybody's minds is this virus going around, Dave.
It's getting bad. The COVID-19, it's kind of sweeping around the world, and at least in my neck of the woods here in Kansas City, we've been fortunate so far. There's only been one case near me, and it was taken care of quickly, but we're taking a lot of precautions and may have to start canceling classes and things. And speaking of canceling, this is our first topic today. The virus has been responsible for.
Yeah, the fest for Beatles fans, as you know, takes place in the New York, New Jersey area, and they have had some outbreaks there. In fact, I just read today that part of New York is probably, there's one like county in New York is probably the biggest outbreak in America right now. So if due to precautions, the Fest for Beatles Fans 2020 has been postponed. It says it's postponed, not canceled necessarily, but postponed. So they are giving updates through the email, sending emails out to, I'm sure everyone who signed up for the fest will get updates. I guess they were trying to work with the hotel out there. If you were going to the fest and you had a hotel room already reserved, they're trying to find a different date later in the year, and they're trying to find a way to keep the hotel reservations. But some of the hotel reservations have already been canceled. So it's a bit of a mess, but it sounds like they're working on it. They're trying to work it out, trying to move it to later in the year. Coachella, just moments before we recorded this. Same thing. They're going to postpone till later in the year.
October, at least, I think. October. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, the press release for the fest, it was kind of interesting how they phrased it. They said that, well, you know, every year at the fest, it's like family reunion. And so everybody wants to hug each other and say hi. And we haven't seen each other since last fest. So given the virus, it's probably best to avoid that for now. So kind of a personal stamp on it, but yeah, it's too bad. I know there's a lot of things that are being postponed and or canceled right now, and this is the latest casualty from the Beatle world.
Yeah, I'm wondering if certain concerts I have tickets to in the next upcoming months might get canceled. I'm a little bit concerned about that. I've heard about some other just tours that are postponing.
Yeah,
I can't name them off the top of my head, but so that's the bad news, I guess.
Yeah.
Start with the bad news and then change better news, which is we've got some Record Store Day releases were announced for Record Store Day. Record Store Day is next month. The biggest, I guess, release of the bunch is Paul McCartney. Once again, is releasing McCartney on vinyl for Record Store Day, but it's a 50th anniversary half-speed mastering release. This is from April 18th, 2020, Record Store Day, 50th anniversary Record Store Day limited edition of McCartney was pressed from a master cut by Miles Showell at a half speed using the original 1970 master tapes at Abbey Rose Studios. It was made as a vinyl specific transfer in high resolution without digital peak limiting for the best possible reproduction. Now, Dave, I watched a 18-minute video with Miles Showell earlier today about half speed mastering. So
yeah, because you had told me about it, and I saw the article you posted on our Facebook page, and then I thought, what is half speed mastering? So what gets the gist of that?
Well, just the loose gist of it is basically when they are cutting the record, they usually go at 33 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but in the high peaks, you lose a little bit at a higher speed, and there's a little bit more wobbly possibility of some wobbliness, some imprecise cutting of grooves, basically.
Okay.
So if you would imagine, like, if you're driving real fast, right, and you're trying to see everything on the road, you're not going to see everything. But if you, say, slow down to half the speed you're driving, then you go, oh, yeah, I could see what's going on. Ah. So that's how it was described on a couple of videos I watched. Now, there is some arguments whether or not half-speed mastering is all that great. Generally, people are like, yes, every half-speed mastered record I've ever heard has been amazing sounding. And just like the purest, best audio. So this is really for audiophiles.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Honestly. There are a few record engineer types out there who are like, I don't like half-speed mastering. It's a waste of time. And what you gain in the high peaks, you lose in the lower range. So if that makes any sense to anybody, I'm trying to put it in layman's terms.
Yeah, that's clear.
So, but I personally am. Oh, and I just want to mention, Mike Showell runs out of Abbey Road Studios, and Abbey Road Studios has become the go-to place for these half-speed masters.
Okay.
They recently did a lot of the Rolling Stones albums in half-speed mastering, Peter Gabriel album, some releases of that. Oh, and the Police.
Mm,
and go to YouTube and check out this Miles Showell video if you're like...
Does he play samples, or does he like kind of demonstrate anything?
Well, he talks about it enough that you really get an understanding of what's going on.
Okay.
There are places out there also on YouTube where you can get examples of... In fact, if you just type in half-speed mastering, you'll get like... I listened to Sledgehammer today.
Mm,
half-speed master. It sounded pretty good. So, yeah. So, and there's another good article on half-speed mastering, yoursoundmatters.com. At any rate, if you don't have McCartney on vinyl, this sounds like it's going to be the time to get it on Record Store Day. So that's one of the three Record Store Day releases, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next one?
Well, they're also going to release, from the John Lennon side of things, the 45, the single of Instant Karma, with the, I believe, the original label, or it's going to look... There's something special about the label. I think it was a...
It says artwork is a faithful reproduction of the original UK sleeve.
That's what it was. Okay, so it's the UK sleeve. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's a released, you know, January 1970. We know that. It was his quick, done in a day kind of example. On the other side is Yoko.
The details on this are a little scant, Dave, but it does say newly mixed audio.
Uh-huh.
And they're calling it Instant Karma, and in parentheses, 2020 Ultimate Mixes.
Mm.
So I wonder if there's going to be different mixes, or if the original B-side, which was a Yoko tune, is going to be on there or what. Details scant, but I wanted to say about both the releases, McCartney and... the Lennon one, that it's going to be 7,000 copies, so that's a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Than sometimes these are just 5,000 copies or less. This one's going to be $7,000. And I noticed they're on release type. They're Record Store Day first releases, not Record Store Day exclusive. So I'm wondering if there could be a second pressing.
Interesting. I mean, as soon as you said that it was the ultimate mix, I thought back to the Imagine box set, which had the ultimate mixes too, and I wonder if that means there might be more, like maybe a Plastic Ono Band ultimate mix, or...
Well, that we could speculate that, because yeah, that was so... Imagine was 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. 18, yeah.
18. This is going to be the 50th anniversary of Plastic Ono Band.
Right.
Can this be the first little hint that possibly we got a Plastic Ono Band ultimate mixes coming out?
Which would be on our top of our list for wish lists, definitely. So yeah, that could be pretty exciting. Something about... I know we've got one more Record Store Day thing, but I wanted to just mention something bothers me about Record Store Day is that I've tried to go twice and got nothing. And then if you want those items later, you find them on eBay for about triple the cost of what you actually paid. And it seems like a big gouge. And then you never even get to hear what it was anyway half the time. So what to you is the allure of this whole thing?
That's true to some extent, and I think it's gotten better, what you're talking about, because A, there's a lot more record stores these days.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got a record store here in Andersonville, Illinois, section of Chicago, Illinois, called Andersonville, called Rattleback Records, and they just opened like a year and a half ago. And I had gone to Record Store Days before where you stand in this big long line.
Yeah.
Or you have to get there super duper duper early.
Right.
And then you don't get anything you want. Well, last time I went there, I was like expecting like, I'll see what I can get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting everything I wanted.
Wow.
none of it price gouged up or anything like that. Now, you know, some popular releases, there's two Bowie releases coming out that I really want.
Mm-hmm.
They could be gone in the first, you know, five guys. Who knows? So so I think what you're talking about, I understand that. I do think one thing is it used to be that all of them were like 5,000, and now they've sort of upped some of the more popular ones to kind of match demand.
Yeah,
but there are specialty items that are for collectors, and generally I think it's a good thing. I understand what people are saying about the gouging. Someone had made a comment about that when we posted the news on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced the same thing. I couldn't get that one. I went to like four different record stores to try to get this one Bowie release. At any rate, it's a good thing, because it's like records coming out. Some of the releases don't get released, but some of them do.
That's true.
Later on.
That's true.
A few years ago, there was a Who Kids Are All Right record with colored vinyl, special colored vinyl. Well, they just re-released that. It's not colored vinyl, but it's the new, you know, it's the same thing.
So it still eventually gets out.
Yeah, they still eventually get out, or they hit digital platforms or whatever, you know. So,
because I would imagine that these two, like the Instant Karma and the McCartney, will be very big sellers. They'll be really popular items. I'm guessing our third item may not be as popular, but still interesting nonetheless. And this will be kind of a segue into the next story that you can take after we mention what it is, but it's... the first kind of, it's not the first new release from the Dark Horse, newly revamped and refurbished Dark Horse label, but it's a Ravi Shankar album called Chance of India that was produced by George, and it's coming out on vinyl. And I remember buying this on CD when it came out, and I really liked it. It's a good album.
And when did this come out, Dave?
I want to say 1997. It was right towards the end of the 90s, and it was kind of a it's Chants of India, so it's based on these old Vedic or Indian chants, but it was all as kind of one big long piece, and it was very meditative, and George, you can hear him singing, I think, on it and playing some stuff. So it was a nice release. So, and then it went way out of print forever.
Yeah.
And now with Dark Horse coming back, it's here again, so in vinyl.
looks to be the first time on vinyl, which I'm finding a lot of releases I'm excited about, or at least, or stuff that I was into in college and right after college. And then now it's the very first time on vinyl for the Space Hog albums coming out, for instance, or something like that. This one's going to be a double vinyl on red vinyl.
Ooh.
Limited edition, housed in a gatefold sleeve with exclusive photo print.
Okay.
So, Chance of India. So,
yeah.
And that is the first, as you mentioned, one of the first releases. Now, there have been some digital releases from Dark Horse Records and BMG. And this was the other big news item was there's a Rolling Stone article now about this new venture of Dark Horse and sort of going through the history of Dark Horse Records. And they have an interview and talk to both Olivia and Danny Harrison in there. And I wanted to read bits of three paragraphs here, Dave, because something might be very interesting to you. Sort of towards the end of the article. The company's archival research has also turned up a trove of unissued George Harrison material.
Mm.
Does that sound good to you, Dave? Does that interest you?
Keep going, keep going.
We have people digging through mountains of tapes, and they keep coming, says Danny. Boxes and boxes of them.
Wow.
Danny has archivists have unearthed hours of unreleased material and unheard songs from the All Things Must Pass sessions. A lot of it has been bootleg, and we have better versions, says Olivia. We have all the 24 tracks of All Things Must Pass, and we found lots of different takes and talking in the studio.
Hmm. Oh, you're whetting my appetite here.
Is that getting you excited, Dave?
Yes.
How about this? Next year will mark the 50th anniversary of Concert for Bangladesh, followed by, in 2023, by the five-decade mark of Living in the Material World. Each of those projects could be accorded expanded editions, although the specifics aren't worked out. And then Danny also talked about his 1974 tour. He says he's listened back to tapes of all the shows and agrees his father wasn't in the best of voice.
To say the least.
But still feels the shows revealed another aspect of George's music. His voice is pretty tired, but in my opinion, it sounds great, he says. It's raspy and it has grit to it. You hear the fragility in all the songs. It's a different take on a lot of his music. Olivia says several of the shows were also filmed on stage and off stage, and the material has the makings of a documentary. I think it would make a great tour movie, she says. The backstage footage is amazing and hysterical. What do you think about all that, Dave?
Oh, I guess maybe the motto is good things can come to those who wait. How many times have you and I talked about how stingy the Harrison releases have been in comparison to the McCartney and the Lennon stuff? And we knew how many people had also talked about, like Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne said there were all these tapes and they all talked about these things, but you know, we probably felt that we would never get them. So this is very encouraging, and I hope it all comes true. I hope I would like the All Things Must Pass box, which would be a good time for that now. And then I know we've also talked about how much we would want to see the 74 tour stuff as well. So pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, if he's saying, if they already know what they said in this article about All Things Must Pass, and it's the 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
Maybe sort of like we're seeing some clues, just like we were talking about with the Lennon.
Wow.
Maybe we'll get one towards the end of the year. That'd be awesome.
It would. Do you think we're going to have another situation like we had in 2018 where you had the two McCartney box sets, the Imagine set and the White Album set all coming out at once, all over $100 each, roughly?
Yeah. We'll have All Things Must Pass, Flaming Pie...
Plastic Ono Band.
Plastic Ono Band, Ultimate Edition, in four different versions of that.
Atmos sound.
Yeah.
We'll
have Ringo re-release, Ringo.
Boku's of Blues.
Yeah. It'll be something else.
Yeah. But that's exciting news, and it's exciting to see that Dark Horse and that Danny and Olivia are putting some energy behind this. I think it's going to be welcomed by the fans.
Yeah, and what I read there was just like snippets of the article from RollingStone.com. You should definitely check it out because it's got more, you know, kind of a history of how Dark Horse started and its entire history, really. And it's great that it's sort of like they've got a new record deal, and
yeah,
you know, you get a new record. I mean, what happened when Capitol bought Paul McCartney's stuff? It's like, we're releasing 8 albums like today.
Right. You know? Right.
So I think we're going to get some release. Where we heard it, but someone was like, no, they're too stingy. They're not going to release anything, but that article makes it sound quite the opposite.
Like, yeah,
we're definitely going to get some George releases. Finally.
And now, I mean, it's in print now, so you don't want to have the reporter come back in 2 years and say to Danny, well, what happened? You mentioned that there was all this stuff and nothing's happened. So I think now that they've said it, that means something's in progress.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of fly on the wall stuff generally. George fly on the wall stuff might be really interesting.
Yeah, it would be.
So Dave, one more news item here. Dave, you're very, extraordinarily wealthy, right?
Yes, this
the pay of a music professor is just like
unbelievable, and you know, the stock market has been so stable and reliable lately that my investments are just flourishing. Yes.
Well, April 10th is going to be the day, you know, 50 years to the day, actually, that the Beatles broke up, April right. 10th. Julian's Auctions is going to have a big Beatles auction. Highlights include Paul McCartney's handwritten lyrics to the 1968 Beatles classic, Hey Jude.
Hmm.
How much do you think that's estimated to go for?
Estimated. I'll say $10,000.
$160,000 to
$180,000. Forgot a zero.
It was used in studio for its recording at Trident Studios. Ooh, so,
even more special.
Good. A Smalding baseball signed by John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. I'm like, what baseball? What? But it's from the final U.S. concert in Candlestick Park.
Oh.
Estimated $80,000 to $100,000.
Wow.
An original shooting script with drawings, notes, and ideas handwritten by Paul McCartney regarding the filming of the music video for Beatles song Hello Goodbye. That one you could get get it around $70,000 to $90,000. Bargain. John Lennon and Yoko Ono's Bagism drawing featured in the couple's 1969 Bed and Peace documentary as part of their demonstration against the Vietnam War. This is estimated at $80,000 to $100,000. I'm reading this, by the way, off of juliansauctions.com. If you want to check them out, you can see all actually, there's some pictures there. Get a PDF. You know, to get you ready for, I'm sure many of our listeners are going to place bids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
A pair of vintage camel beige wide-cut corduroy trousers worn by John Lennon on the Magical Mystery Tour in the 1960s. Hmm. Those are only going for like
$20,000 to $30,000.
And a pin on paper caricature drawing of three-legged pirate created by John Lennon for his 1963 book In His Own Right, which contained a story about pirate named Large John and his small friend Jack Hawkins. And that's estimated to go for $20,000 to $30,000. Oh, and then one more item, Dave.
Okay.
This is the bargain bin. Only at $60,000 to $80,000. A floor standing brass ashtray used by Ringo Starr.
Oh. That's what
he needed to have it at the band's Abbey Road recordings in the 60s. So he could smoke and just put it out.
Yeah.
And go back to drumming.
Wow, that is a real collectible. That is amazing.
So Julian's Auctions there. Well, get those Hey Jude lyrics.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I wonder, that sort of stuff I think would go well in a museum, or to, like, not just for someone to have in their house, but I mean, people would want to see something like that. Like, if you go to the British Museum or British Library, I can't remember, they have In My Life lyrics and like the originals, and there's always people just loving that stuff. So maybe it will be won by somebody who will donate it.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think it's like guys like, well, we don't have Michael Jackson around anymore to buy weird stuff, you know, just that he's fans of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But we'll see. But I thought that was interesting, all the items.
Those are kind of interesting. They're not the usual, oh, it's just a guitar or something else. They're kind of unusual things, especially the trousers.
Do you think it's mildly morbid that they're having it on the 50th anniversary of them breaking up?
that does raise some questions. Yeah. One more little piece of news that was in the Paul McCartney, What's That You're Doing? His newsletter. Yeah. everyone once in a while, they have questions. Actually, every episode or every issue, they have a question. Ask Paul.
So
he talked about, the question was, what's your favorite chord? And I was thinking it was B7, because we've heard that story 100 times of how he had to travel, he and John or someone traveled across town to get this B7 chord from somebody in Liverpool, and then he could use it. No, it's just an E chord. It's his favorite chord. How about that?
Yeah, oh, what a earth shatter.
A work a day. Off and
play an E chord right now.
Yes, in honor of Paul.
Months.
Not what I was expecting, but so it goes. That's what he says. So,
yeah, those questions. Sometimes people, I find his answers are never going to be all that great.
No,
I've submitted. Have you ever submitted a question?
No,
to that?
I haven't. No. What have you?
You gave me the answer the thing, and I gave you the question, I think, is the, if you go to that form, is what it says. So that I always found that to be pretty funny. But
What, do you remember anything you've asked him?
I think I asked him something about if live recordings and stuff like that. Like if he planned to put out any more live recordings or anything like that, and, you know. He only answers the softballs.
Yo, definitely.
It's like, he's got somebody going through like hundreds of them. It's like, all right, this one's okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite chord? Oh.
I like E.
I did want to mention, though, a very fun, very good interview on a podcast that I love, which is Alan Alda hosts the podcast, and it's called Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda. And most recently, he had Paul on there. A great interview, very fun. Of course, he tells some of the same stories he's told before, but Alan's never heard him. So Alan is just a great guy and just like laughing real loud.
Oh, yeah.
And really, Alan asking him some stuff that I don't think he's used to being asked, so it did get kind of interesting. But very if you like goofy Paul, oh man, he's talking about oobly chords.
Oobly, the word oobly is said several times in there. That's some classic crazy silly Paul.
Great podcast. I'd highly recommend Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda.
So, little news update with all the Beatle things happening, and we are going to be recording our next podcast very soon, and this will be, I think it'll be an interesting one, because it's something that we've talked about a lot, but never actually dug into, and so we don't want to say what it is, but we'll just say it could provoke some interesting discussion.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a real good one.
Yes.
I really do.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, great. Great, Dave.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned. Stay safe. Wash your hands a lot. And we will be back with you very soon.